You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good game?
Rolling right along here, 8 o'clock. 710 ESPN Seattle. It is the Mike Salk Show. As I said, it's kind of frenemy day today. Stacy's going to join me at 9 o'clock. Stacy Ross from Jake and Stacy. I feel like they'll find some way to gang up on me. What's up,
Jake
G?
And Stacy?
No, G and Stacy.
G and Stacy, okay.
Yeah. I got to do something. My man Justin, shout out to Justin for this one. Woof. Hey, good morning, everybody. What's good?
What's up, G? How we doing today?
Man, you know, it's Friday, bro. The paycheck cleared, and it's all good. Like, there's a lot of people that are like, G, I hate you. I'm like, don't worry about it, but that check cleared. But go ahead. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I'm going to this is the second time this week we've had a chance to talk on the air, and here's what I've already noticed. 8 o'clock G, a little bit more energetic than 6:30 G. I know you're up in the 6 a.m. hour, but you don't have the same kind of energy that you do at 8.
The last time we talked this week at 6:30, what were we talking about compared to what we're talking about
now? I know. Yeah, we were talking about Gruden and all that. Yeah, so you just brought a different energy.
It's a different energy, different tone. But right now, your boy is on 3 cups of coffee. You feel me? Looked at the paycheck. Paycheck is good. Okay. Mama ain't mad at me because we're going out to dinner tonight. Man,
you check that paycheck right off the bat on Friday, every other Friday.
Make
sure it's in the bank account.
Mm-hmm,
you even do direct deposit?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I figured you would force them to like write you a check so that you could put it in the
account. I am not the only one. If you're listening out there, tell the truth. Even though you know it's there, don't you have to go and look and see it? Justin Marr, do you guys look and see it?
I don't.
I don't either, man. It gets direct deposited. I don't even think about it.
I check on it at some point.
Just to make sure it's there.
Right. Hey, hold on. I check Thursday morning just to make sure it's going to be there. And then I check Friday morning and make sure it's there. All okay, right. Man. What are we talking about?
Well,
today,
let's start with it. We'll get to Gino here in a moment and some football stuff. But I've been waiting to ask you since I saw your tweets on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You watched that hockey. What'd you think?
Okay, first of all, I tuned in around 7:10 for the first hockey game. I know it's going to start at 7:15. So I watched. I'm like, whoa. Okay, they have some action. It was the game before. Don't ask me the team's name, okay, because I didn't know. Anyway, so I'm watching before. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then of course, the Kraken starts. Well, KJ Wright, you know, he's over there in Vegas. He's sending me video because he's in the house right there. And he's like, gee, this is cool. You would love this. And he's showing me video.
Yeah, you like that 3D octopus?
Yeah. I'm like, ain't nobody doing it like that. So anyways, it kind of got me hyped up. So I'm on hype. So I'm on Twitter, on social media.
Okay.
I'm asking questions. So two things stand out. One, I don't know the rules. Okay, cool. Okay, cool. We give it that. But then two, I don't know a player. Like, I have not watched any type of game. I can't remember where I don't know the rules and I don't know who the players are. Okay, cool, solid. So I'm in there. I'm doing my thing. 2 straight goals, some impressive stuff. Morris talked about it on Twitter. I said, "Wow, some of the 2 goals that Las Vegas got right off the bat were pretty good."
Right.
So it's the end of the first period, right? So I'm sitting there. It's the end of the first period, and I'm like, "Oh!" And so I see all the hockey people leaving the ice rink and going to the back. So I'm like, oh, it's halftime. So I turn the TV off downstairs. I go grab my water bottle, and I go upstairs to the room, to the bed. Now, when you start getting in your 40s, ladies and gentlemen, you guys know what happens. If you touch that bed, it's probably not a good idea. But anyway, but I did. I touched the bed. I turned it on.
Okay.
I'm waiting for halftime, and wait, what's going on? Why are they out here so fast? And 2 minutes later,
what
I was
so fast. You fell asleep before you got to the second period.
Yeah, before I got to the second period. So come to find out, that wasn't halftime. So
no.
I usually you go back to the locker room when it's halftime.
Wow.
I don't know. Like, so what's the deal with hockey? Is there 4 periods?
3 periods.
3 periods.
3
okay.
periods. So you get 2 intermissions, but they're both longer than halftime. They're both 20 minutes long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got 2 20-minute intermissions, and you just, you know, go do whatever you want. Come back and watch the next period.
So I thought it was good. I thought it was fast. Here's my thoughts.
It's fast, isn't it?
It's so fast, right? It's so fast. It does make people put their glasses on, or it makes you go to the doctor and figure out if you need glasses, right? Because you following that puck, bro. Can we get some glow to the puck or something?
They did so that. I can remember, Fox did that years ago. They put a little blue dot on the puck.
They didn't like that.
Really possible. Yeah, it was really,
really
annoying. Yeah. Okay. The weird thing about hockey is, and I swear to you, if you've watched the game long enough, you could watch an entire game and not even see the puck, and you'd know right where it is. You can just see where it's going,
really?
The way the players are reacting. Over time, if you were to start watching it every day and really getting into it, you could literally watch it if the puck was invisible and still know right where it is.
So the cool thing is like a few of my text threads, I got some former Seahawks in the text thread and some current ones and all, like just talking back and forth. The cool thing was this is how a lot of people were bought in to that first night, checking it out. And another thing is like a lot of people are like, you know what? This is pretty cool. Love how fast paced. Now let's take it to the next level, next step. Let's get to a game. So there's a few things that need to happen. I need to get to a game.
Yep.
And I need to actually know a player's name.
Well, you need to learn a few of the rules.
Yeah, because the whole, what was it called? Power play or something?
Yeah, the power play.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. And then somebody was off, and then somebody didn't get back fast enough. And then I was like, so at that point, I quit wanting to.
But you understand that on the power play, you get 2 minutes, 5-on-4, right? Did you get that part?
Yeah, somebody tweeted that to me.
Right. So that's good, it's your best scoring opportunity, right? You've got a man advantage and you have an opportunity to go score.
So, but if they're so rough all the time, right? They're what gives somebody a penalty to where it's a power play?
So it's a really good question because hockey has different rules from other sports, right? Hockey allows fighting, hockey allows checking. Other sports don't allow that. You get a penalty for tripping, like if you use your stick to trip the other person. If you use your stick, it's called hooking. If you grab if you use your stick to pull on the person, like in their midsection with your stick, does that make sense? Use it like a hook.
Yeah.
Interference would be checking a person that doesn't have the puck. Slashing would be essentially whacking somebody too hard with your stick. Cross checking would be holding the stick with both hands parallel to the ice and whacking it into someone's back. So there's a few. There's more. There's boarding. There's roughing. There's charging. There's a few others.
So
you get the idea.
So any of those, are they called personal fouls?
They're called penalties. You get a penalty, okay, and the referee will go over. They'll stop the puck, and he'll go over to the side, and he'll say, number 22, 2 minutes, interference. And then you have a penalty. Then you have a power play.
So every penalty is a power play for the other team?
Almost every penalty is. The only time it wouldn't be would be if they call matching penalties. Right, so if they call one on each team at the same time, and then you would skate either 4-on-4 or 5-on-5, depending.
Okay,
so there you go. So now you get it.
A typical game doesn't really. I mean, what's a typical game last? Three,
two and a half hours, almost on the dot.
I mean, college football games.
It's like 6 hours.
Yes,
it's all day. Pack a lunch.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little football. Gino going to get the start, on Sunday night. What do you think? Can he get this thing done?
He's the best quarterback of the two starting quarterbacks that's going to be out there. He's better than Big Ben. Big Ben is awful. And I think Geno Smith is going to have the same conversation given to him, the same one that was given to Russell in year one and year two. Hey, Russ, listen, bro. Don't turn the ball over. Hey, Geno, don't turn the ball over. And I think that is going to be the most important part. And as a matter of fact, Geno Smith is really not my concern on Sunday night. I actually have confidence in him. I would like to see the Seahawks run the ball, get the run game going. As we know, most teams are successful when you run the ball. Your boy, Alex Collins, probably is going to have to probably be the man doing that. I still think that the Seahawks have the best duo in wide receivers in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. By the way, the last time DK was there, that's where he scored his first touchdown in September 15th, 2019. That's where he scored his first touchdown. So it looks like he's going to be excited about getting there. And I also, one more thing about DK. I think Geno's going to say, hey, DK, listen, man, I'm new to this. I'm new to this. Help your boy out. I need some slants. I need a big body. I need a secure target. I'm coming to you early and often. So that's one of those things that I believe will happen.
Okay. Nice. So some confidence there. Maybe a little less confident in the defense.
Yeah.
Dude, what's going on with your boy Bobby? I love Bobby Wagner as a human being. It's impossible not to. What is going on with him on the field?
I thought you were going to warm up into this.
I can't. I know I'm putting you in a tough spot.
Yeah, you are.
You know what? I'll let you not answer if you don't want to. I know you're friendly with them. That's fine. I get it.
Let me go into it. Usually, I watch the game when I'm at the Seahawks game. I usually watch it because I'm working during the Seahawks game, so I don't usually be down there in the seats on the close to the field. Well, last Thursday night games, I happened to have that opportunity. I had some friends, so I was right there. And so I was able to see that this is when the Rams were, they were on the 10-yard line inside the red zone, and Bobby was lined up on a tight end. Now, again, I think before I say this, let me say, be clear. Bobby Wagner is a sure Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. No question about it. One of the best middle linebackers in the game for the last 7 or 8 years. Okay, done. But there was a I saw Bobby lined up on a tight end. And that tight end ran a, bam, a quick pop, dug his left foot in the ground and ran a slant. And the reaction time that Bobby had on that let me know one or two things. That either he's not 100%, which is highly likely, right? Like all players aren't 100%. Yeah. Just because
he missed practice yesterday or 2 days ago. So that's not like impossible.
Okay, so it lets me know that he's not 100%. Or he has kind of lost a step, which kind of happens as well. I think it's the first thing I said. I think that Bobby looks a little bit dinged up out there. So that hurts, right? When you start talking about a defense that's already is dealing with a lot of young guys, right? You don't have the experience that we have been used to seeing all the time out there on the field, right? So that kind of concerns me. I am excited about some of the players that's going to get more playing time. And it's interesting that Daryl Taylor has been talked about be getting more playing time. And during the game, I'm getting text messages from former Seahawks players saying, hey, man, that Daryl Taylor dude, that dude needs to get more playing time.
No
kidding. And then Pete comes out and says, well, we're going to find out how to get him on the field more. I think he's a player. I think Jordan Brooks is a player. But another thing that really.
We'll see, though, because it was last week Pete said they were going to get Ryan Neal on the field more. And then he barely played last week. So who knows?
You know your boy was hot. That's my guy. I was
Ryan Neal, I know you love that guy because of where he's from near Gary, Indiana.
Absolutely. Last thing I want to address something as well. Like let's talk about number 33, Jamal Adams, and what's been going on with that. Look, the NFL is a copycat league. The NFL, you have a bunch of 31 other teams that are coaches that their jobs are to watch film backwards and forwards. That's what they do. They analyze everything. So what we saw out of Jamal Adams last year, rushing the passer from the safety spot right there at the line of scrimmage, it was kind of different from the Seahawks defense. Wouldn't you agree? That was different last year. Okay, so when you come into this year, here's what other offenses are going to probably say and do. Okay, we're not going to get beat that way. We are going to force the Seahawks to try to beat us in other ways. They're
scheming them out of it, essentially.
Right, they're scheming that. So therefore, you can't really have Jamal do some of the things that maybe he did last year, and maybe you might have to go back to.
You're gonna have to find a way to do that. Hey, we only have a minute here, G, but I do want to ask you just because I got beat up by it so much this week.
Mm.
Cam Newton. Why? I know nobody wants Cam around here. They're angry or they think that he had a rival or whatever. Like, don't you think Cam Newton would be the best person to come in and win you 3 or 4 games while Russ is out?
I think Cam Newton would have been a good idea to bring in. And you know what? Who knows? I mean, I know it's been reported that the Seahawks went out there and were trying to ask about Blake Bortles. Who knows? Maybe they slid in Cam Newton's DMs too, and we just don't know about it. Like, first of all, who admits to slide into somebody else's DMs? Hey, honey, I was on IG today, and I slid in some DMs, and I got turned down. Like, what if the Seahawks
turned down? What are you suggesting here? Cam didn't want to come here?
No.
What are you suggesting, sir?
I'm not suggesting that.
All right.
I'm just saying that I guarantee you the Seahawks are very aggressive, and I'm not talking about just Cam Newton. I'm talking about in general,
yes.
Right? Like, so you mean to tell me there's only one quarterback they probably went to?
Blake Bortles. They didn't even talk to anybody else.
Yeah, only Blake Bortles. Out of all the quarterbacks that are on the couch, sitting at home, ready.
Phillip Rivers?
Blake Bortles is the only one. So, again, sometimes back in the day, this is a terrible analogy, but follow me here. Back in the day when the cell phone bill came out, okay, and I got caught, you and they caught me with that one number that was on there, I fessed up to that one. It was like five or six other numbers on there that I didn't want to admit. So sometimes you just admit, hey, the Blake Bortles, cool.
You're insane. We've got to go. Go away. Have a great weekend.
You're kicking me off already.
Yeah, I'm kicking you off.
Can I file something? Like the fact that I get kicked out so early?
Yeah.
I'll take your complaint.
Off the air, though. Goodbye, G. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man.
It is 8:15. We've gotten rid of G, and it's time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, it's an interconference matchup, and it doesn't happen too often, but the Steelers have certainly led to some frustrating history for the Seahawks. I know I don't need to remind anybody of the 2005 Super Bowl, and while you obviously can't blame the opponent for the actions of the referees, certainly the ones to benefit from it, so I know there's a lot of anger there. But what about 2011? Do you remember that game? You probably don't, but the Steelers just physically walloped the Seahawks on the way to a 24-0 victory. It dropped Seattle to 0-2 on that year, but it was also the game after which John Schneider decided his team would never be physically dominated like that again. They couldn't. And for years, they were not. The mission now, though, to get back to that level of physical play that they had during their Super Bowl years, and without Russell Wilson on the field for the next few weeks, it'd be a really good time to start doing that. Russ, though, I will say, listed as a partial participant in practice yesterday. I'm sure that means he's still not going to play, and it's just because he could go without his finger and run around and do some of the other drills. But, like, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm just saying. Carson and Metcalf also did not practice. Chris Carson, probably the bigger concern, especially after Pete said before yesterday that he would go. For Pittsburgh, no Juju Smith-Schuster. That's expected. Old friend Akilah Witherspoon also missed practice with a coach's decision designation. It'll be a full weekend in the NFL. Rams at New York on Sunday to take on the Giants. New York just 1-4 this year. Cardinals at Cleveland trying to stay unbeaten. Sounds like they're going to have a new tight end. They just traded for Zach Ertz. So an already good Arizona team is getting a little bit better. Niners have a bye, as do the Saints, who we will see next week against the Seahawks. Marquee games around the league, probably Chargers-Ravens, I would say. Battle of two of the best quarterbacks in the game so far. A couple of teams that are really fun to watch. Cowboys-Patriots, Raiders, and Broncos. First game as a head coach for Rich Bisaccia.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, another milestone last night for the Kraken. They got their first win in franchise history, 4-3 in Nashville. Brandon Tanev leading the way with a pair of goals on the night. That was the Kraken team we were expecting. That was the team that I hoped to see in game one. But look, I was trying to keep it positive. I was trying not to be negative about it. It was exciting, right? Just to have a first game and excitement around having a team for the first time. But let's face it, they didn't play very well. Last night, they did. They played great, brought physicality, speed, no more of the defensive mistakes that were a problem in the first game. And then all of the chemistry issues that plagued them in Vegas, those seemed to disappear. It was great. All of it translated, and they end up getting the win 4-3. I love specifically how hustle can lead to results in hockey. Just consider this. Vince Dunn, two really big hits. It ruffled some feathers on the Nashville side, and that led to a fight. He's not a fighter. He took punishment. And because of that, they ended up getting a power play, and that power play led to the first goal of the game. His hustle, his physical play, led to the goal. A couple minutes later, newcomer Alex Barré-Boulet used a little speed, hustling through the neutral zone, forces a tripping penalty. That leads directly to the power play, directly to the Tanev goal. Work hard, get rewarded. It's a great way to watch hockey. Also starting to get a sense for how Dave Hakstol sees his lineup. Grubauer got the second straight start, maybe to let him maybe get into a groove. Interesting to see. He played pretty well. Jeremy Lauzon also got the nod over Hayden Fleury for the final D spot. Carson Soucy made his debut. I thought he actually played pretty well.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
All right, instant classic last night in San Francisco. Dodgers, though, advanced to the NLCS. Cody Bellinger breaking a 1-1 tie in the ninth inning with an RBI single. Max Scherzer actually came in to pick up the save. Pretty cool. Giants, however, wasted an epic performance from Logan Webb. 7 innings, just 1 run on the night. And then the black mark was that the whole thing ends on a blown call from Wilmer Flores was called out on a check swing to end the game. Did that mean San Francisco would have won? No, we don't know what would have happened, but such a bummer. At least it was the first base ump who made the call and not the home plate umpire. At least they went to the right guy. But unfortunately, they got the wrong results, and it was not challengeable. Red Sox and Astros will start tonight in Houston. Chris Sale and Framber Valdez. Tom Brady keeping the train rolling. Tampa held off a late Philadelphia run to improve to 5-1. 28-22 there as Brady throws for 297. Jalen Hurts threw for a score, ran for two more in a losing effort. And Richard Sherman's return to the NFL has been waylaid. He left the game last night with a hamstring injury, did not return, and is expected to now miss some time. There you go. That's three things you need to know. A couple others thrown in. We do it every hour, quarter past the hour.
Wow, did Salk just call out his listeners as 12 since 12?
No.
Saying they probably don't remember the game in Pittsburgh in 2011? You mentioned it like three times.
No,
right?
I wasn't trying to say that you didn't remember. Who remembers every single game? I never remember anything.
But that was that the last time? I can't find another point where they actually were shut out for an entire game.
I doubt it. I bet you that was the last shutout. I don't think Russ has ever been shut out. So unless they were shut out later that year, that's probably it. He scored like three. Didn't they have the 3-3 tie against Arizona or whatever it was?
3-6 that year,
I remember. So, I mean, there have been a couple of dogs.
10 years.
Yeah, been a long time. So don't get shut out this week either. Let's not have a repeat performance.
No.
Because at least that Pittsburgh team was good. This one's not particularly good. So, yeah, I don't think you want any part of that.
I like G's comment of Geno's the better quarterback on the field this weekend.
He might be right. He's certainly a better guy. Say that.
Yes.
Better human being of the two quarterbacks that are out there this
week.
Text, could not love G any more than I do. So glad he's back. I totally agree. More G, less Salk, please. All right, come on. There's no reason to take shots like that.
Maybe G will help the ratings in the Apple Podcast.
Can't you just like G without having to take a shot? Do you have to choose one or the other? Is that what G makes us do?
That's how listeners
work.
That's
how it works. I like Mora, so I hate Justin, right? Isn't that how that goes? No, I like Justin, so I can't stand Mora. Like, really? You can just like more than one person at the same time. I think it's all right. What do you want to do? You want to get the people on the phone for a few minutes? We don't have a lot of time. You think people want? Does anyone have an opinion on the Seahawks game they want to give? I doubt it. Do you think they do?
I don't know if anybody even knows the plan. You know, it could be one of those things people aren't sure.
I will open it up. I made the mistake this week of thinking people wanted to talk hockey, and I was wrong. Nobody wanted to call in on that. So, all right, open up those phone lines, 206-421-3776. How do you win this game with Geno Smith under center? Like, how do you do it? Who do you point at and say, if this person steps up their game, they'll win? 206-421-3776. Help me out. I've got some ideas. I've got my one name that I'm looking at. I know Justin has named one. G certainly was pointing at DK Metcalf and saying that's the guy that needs to do something more. So 206-421-3776. Who needs to step up their game? And if they do, the Seahawks will find a way to win this thing. What is it, Justin? Brings the juice?
Who brings the juice? Who's going to bring the juice?
If so-and-so brings the juice, it would be most helpful for the Seahawks to win. 206-421-3776. I'll give you my answer. I'll take a few of yours. We'll do it next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
I like this one from the 253. It's all about equality. I don't like any of you listens intently to the remainder of the show.
That's fair.
That's fair. You can hate listen all you want. We don't care. Just don't leave us a bad review on the Apple Podcast thing. That'll really hurt. We really need good reviews. Do you think people go through those reviews on Apple Podcasts to decide what to listen to? Like, oh, I'm interested in this local sports show in my city, but I don't know. It only gets a 4.4 rating, so. Like, do you do it like Airbnbs where you're like, well, I'm not staying in that place. It's got like a 3-star review. Get out of here.
I don't really read reviews anywhere now that I think about it. Or
really?
Yelp or anything. No.
That's the one place I read them for sure.
Is Airbnb.
Yes. Okay. Airbnb or Vrbo. Like, you've got to read the reviews on that. That's like a must. Don't you think?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I just never use Airbnb or Vrbo now. I use it.
Yeah, but you can also tell when someone's just being a picky jerk and
you can.
Actual legitimate complaints.
Right. So it's not just the star system. You've got to actually read the reviews. And I won't stay in a place with no reviews. Like, it's got to have some reviews. I got to know something about where I'm going.
Our group of buddies has a rule that we stay in 1-star motels when we go on guys' trips.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I know it.
So you're just staying up on Aurora where, like, basically. No, no, no. You know what? I'm moving on. I'm not listening to any more about your buddies. 206-421-3776. Simple question out there. Who brings it? If so-and-so brings the juice this game, the Seahawks will find a way to win, even with Geno Smith replacing Russell Wilson. To me, it's an easy answer. Shane Waldron. Like that's the guy who can scheme around some of the problems they may have offensively and help them like get into a better position to win. I'll choose Shane Waldron for sure.
You're not right. It's like it's the easiest, the best answer. But I still I'm not gonna give up. I'm going Jamal.
Oh,
this is the one.
Jamal brings the juice this time, finally.
That's the one I'm going with this time. He's going to get a pick or a sack fumble. It's going to happen this week.
All right. I like it. I like where you're going. It could be. Maura, I screwed up and I did not write down the names of the people here. I didn't have my program open. So can you tell me who's on line two and I will go to them?
Nope. You'll just have to guess.
All right. All right. Whoever it
it's
is.
It's Frankie and Puyallup.
Frankie? Ooh. Hi, Frankie. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, dude. Now that I know who you are, what's up?
Oh, so I agree. Shane Waldron is going to dial it up. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to have a quarterback controversy because it's going to be in desperation mode, and Geno Smith is going to deliver.
Well,
he's going to deliver well.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to support around him.
Yeah.
And, you know, the stars are aligning for this guy. He wants to prove himself that he is a NFL quarterback, and he's here to stay. So I think there will be a controversy when Wilson gets back.
All right, I'm going to tell you this, Frankie. This is my honest-to-God opinion. If Geno Smith throws for 1,000 yards in this game alone, there will not be a quarterback controversy here in Seattle.
No, I agree because he's got to prove himself beyond this game.
No, it has nothing to do with Geno Smith. It has to do with the fact that the other quarterback is Russell Wilson.
Exactly. So he has to prove himself beyond Russell Wilson, and and the way to do that is on a third and short, do your check down.
I don't care if he checks down every single play and they get it all right. He's not going to, be a controversy with Russell Wilson. It can't happen. It's impossible.
The way he had that one drive last game where they went down for a touchdown, it looked more efficient than what Russell Wilson did.
So you're ready. Ready to go with Geno Smith over Russell. So you are, just so I'm clear, Frankie, one drive supersedes 10 years.
It will supersede the sack total.
Frankie.
He will not
Frankie.
Hold the ball as long.
Frankie.
I'm saying he's gonna be convincing, and there's gonna be a lot of people that say, you know what? Maybe we need a changing quarterback.
I love you, Frankie. You're my favorite. And I think what you mean by a lot of people is you. You feel like they may need a changing quarterback.
And the supporters that will say, you know what, Frankie is right. He is right. He predicted something, and it came true.
Frankie, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call this show more, okay? You were on my new preferred list. I think what you've just said is insane, but I absolutely want to keep talking to you, and we can only do it for so long today. So save the number, Frankie. You're on the preferred caller list, 206-421-3776. Let's try Jason. Good morning, Jason.
Most of my answers with Shane Waldron, so I'm going to change it up.
Well, are you also going to say that Russell Wilson is going to be like gone by the end of the game?
I think Frankie and Puyallup's been in the soft.
All right,
there
you go.
No,
okay.
I can say that. I think the tight ends need to open it up kind of the way that we've been promised. I think Gerald Everett and Will Disley need to provide easy targets and easy completions for Geno, and that'll open things up for DK and Tyler Lockett later in the game and down the road.
You know, it's funny. Jason, I was thinking the same thing when we were talking to G a few minutes ago, and he's, oh, the DK Metcalf needs to kind of come across the middle, easy completion, slants, etc. I don't know that he's wrong, but I found myself thinking, isn't that kind of what tight ends do? Like, if you're a quarterback that needs that security, isn't that like when you want your tight end to step it up? Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really good call. So thank you for the phone call. I think that's an opportunity right there.
I don't know. Frankie, though, really had a good point here. This could be a quarterback controversy. I mean,
Frankie saw the one drive.
10 years.
He's totally
not
convinced. I love
a
it.
Super Bowl win? No. Nope.
So funny. More Frankie, please. Evan's in Puyallup. Good morning, Evan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What's up, man?
All I got to say is I need something that Frankie's on because Russell Wilson will be the quarterback no matter what. But I think the defense has to bring the energy. I think it has to be the defense that finally steps up.
Give me a player then.
The tight ends as well.
Give me a player then, Evan. If the defense needs to be better than it's been, which player can do the most to help them do that?
The game breaker, Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
Let him do what he did last year. let him loose. Let him do something other than sit back there with Quandre Diggs in cover two and stuff like they have been.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that, Evan. And I forget who had the tweet showing how many times he had lined up as the free safety this year. It's like a ton. That really doesn't feel like the best use of his skill set. So how do you find a way to get him more active? They have to. They've got to. Let's try Jake, who's in Richland in the Tri-Cities this morning. What's up, Jake?
Hey, can you hear me, guys?
I sure can. What's up?
Oh, nice. Hey, so I wanted to say, I know this sounds crazy, but I think Frankie's onto something because I think what could happen, and I have the same thought, if Geno goes off for four games and shows us that it's not only Russell that's holding this team together, I think there could be talk then toward the offseason of, hey, do we really need Russell? And I know that sounds crazy because he's our guy, right? 10 years, like you said.
Well, I think there is something to what you're saying. It's a cousin to what Frankie was saying. There will not be a quarterback controversy between Russell Wilson and Geno Smith. I'll just say that definitively.
Given the history of Russell and kind of seeming like he's got one foot out the door.
No, I'm not saying. Hold on. Hear what I said. I'm not saying you're necessarily wrong that this couldn't lead to trouble in paradise down the road. But I don't think that there will be a quarterback controversy between Geno Smith and Russell Wilson. I don't see that happening. You just have too much experience knowing what each of these players are. But could this end up as an issue later? Yes, I think you make a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think there's something to that, Jake. I think there's something to that. We're going to grab one more. Let's grab one more. Mike's in Linwood. What's up, Mike? Mike, going once. Mike, going twice. Mike, you're in Linwood. That's all I know about you as of right now. Oh, and that you think Ken Norton Jr. needs to step up. That's a fair one. I'll buy. Oh, of course. Just as I hung up, classic. He finally jumped on the phone.
206, DJ Reed needs to bring the juice to win this game.
Oof. That's banking a lot on DJ Reed. I don't know. I don't know that I can point at a role player like DJ Reed and say he's the guy. But you know what? Let's try it, man. Whatever can help. Whatever can help. Should we ask John Clayton? Should we ask the professor?
Yep.
I'd like to. I also want to find out what the heck is going on in Washington, man. Things are going bad to worse. And now it looks like Roger Goodell is going to end up having to answer to some of this because it's his right-hand man, his lawyer, that seems to be doing some of the fixing for the Washington football team. What is going on in the NFL? John Clayton joins me next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton's Morning Drive, every morning at 8:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
I thought you saw a lot of good things out of offense. I think that was a very positive sign.
The first and final word on everything NFL from the professor, John Clayton.
Brought to you by Dubin Law Group.
It just amazes me. I give it credence, but not total credence.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Mike Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike.
Is Russell going to play on Sunday?
No.
Are you sure? He was a partial participant in practice.
He's got a splint on. He's not playing.
All right. If you say so.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's just not happening.
He's not going to play with his left hand?
How good is that going to be?
I don't know. I just know that he was a partial participant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so was other quarterbacks that have been hurt in the last couple of weeks, and did they play? No.
No, obviously he's not going to play. But why isn't he on IR? I mean, it's only 3 weeks, so why wouldn't he go on to IR and give them the roster spot?
Well, because, again, they want the opportunity to see if they can get him back quicker. Mm. I mean, maybe they can get him back next week for the game against New Orleans on Monday night. So if you put him on IR, then he's not going to be there.
Okay. Well, that's hopeful then. Maybe there is a chance that this won't even be as long as we've speculated on. Chris Carson not able to practice at all yesterday. Should I be concerned that Russell practiced more than Chris Carson?
No. I mean, you should be concerned that Chris Carson didn't practice because now it looks like he may have to miss another game, because, again, it's like you want to be able to be out there. And, again, it's like what they say is limited, but what did he do? I mean, that's the thing. We don't know because we're not able to watch practice. But in the case of Carson, that's going to be a big blow if he's not going to be able to play because now you take away your best running back, you take away your Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, and you go there. And I know that DK Metcalf missed practice yesterday, but he'll be able to play. He's got a sore knee, but he's probably not 100%. So, yeah, this is very, very concerning.
Yeah, probably not a surprise. Richard Sherman comes off the street to play, plays in his second game last night, gets hurt, hamstring issue. Mm-hmm. How long do you think he'll be out for?
3-4 weeks, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think he just wasn't ready to come? It's just hard to make that transition back so quickly.
Oh, yeah, because, again, he comes back. He didn't have training camp. I mean, he you know, basically trained on his own and all that stuff. But again, I mean, you come back, and if you notice, I mean, he was beaten like a mule in a lot of plays last week, and he was beaten a couple times in the early part of the game on Thursday night. And so, you know, and then because again, you saw the one play that he got hurt. I mean, you know, he was trying to help out on the play, but again, the guy was the closest to him right before the end of the play, but then his hamstring popped. And so then I think that you can go to not have a training camp, to go into a new team all the way across the country, and then, you know, practice 3 days and play, that's tough.
Mm.
I mean, it's tough, you know, knowing the system and all that stuff. And then now, you know, you come back, and naturally the chances of any kind of a soft tissue injury for a guy that didn't have a training camp or anything like that is very prevalent.
Looking forward to Ravens-Chargers. That's probably the best game of the weekend, huh?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, because, again, it's like, you know, Lamar Jackson has just been unbelievable with his ability to run the football, but even more so throwing the football. I mean, what did he go, like 37 for 43? I mean, what, the team that's known only for its running, you know, had more big plays passing last week than any other team in the league. And so that should be good. And, of course, Justin Herbert has been a monster.
Did you see what Wink Martindale said about Justin Herbert?
No, what did he say?
I'm going to read you this quote, John. You are you have a year or two on me, so maybe you've heard this and can explain it better. Wink Martindale, who's the Ravens defensive coordinator and truly one of the great names in all of the NFL, him and Matt Eberflus, I think, have the two best names in the NFL. But here's what Wink Martindale said of Justin Herbert. He's one of those guys that could throw a strawberry through a battleship.
Yeah, I've never heard that one before.
What does that mean?
That means that he can take something soft and throw it through a big thing like a battleship.
So does that mean he can throw it hard or he can throw it accurately?
Well, I don't know. If it's a battleship, you don't have to worry about it because it's so big. You know,
through a battleship. I thought it meant maybe he could, like, he was so accurate, he could throw the strawberry so it snaked its way from, like, lengthwise through a battleship.
Yeah. I mean, I think what he's talking about is just the power that he has on the ball when he throws. And so, Wink's a great one because I know that, like, for example, you know, when I go on the field, he would always come over to me and say, hey, thank you for the great words you've always said about me through the years and all that stuff. But, yeah, he's a beauty.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, what about less of a fun story, but what's the latest here with Jeff Pasch? So Jeff Pasch is the head legal counsel for the NFL. We all probably got to hear his name a lot when during the lockout, right? I think that's when his name really started to become a household, quote-unquote household name in NFL circles. But there are some interesting accusations now tying him to Bruce Allen, who was the former president in Washington, who has been disgraced here with along with John Gruden. What's the latest on Jeff Pasch?
Well, the latest is, I mean, according to some of the emails and different things like that, I mean, he apparently, and again, we don't know, I mean, he was willing to help him get out and the Washington football team out of some problems. You know, get him out of, you know, some fines. For example, there was some kind of a fine or whatever for, you know, trying to have an extra player or two or something like that. There was that. I mean, helped him some off the field stuff, donated to Bruce Allen when, you know, he tried to run for governor of Virginia and all that stuff. And so it's like, you know, he overstepped his bounds because understand one of the things that Jeff Pasch is so good at doing is that, I mean, he's one of the main guys that negotiates the labor contract. One of the main guys. And he's done such a good job against Demora Smith, but also seems like he's embraced Bruce Allen as his friend and is willing to, you know, get Bruce Allen's property, which will be the Washington football team, out of some trouble.
How normal is that?
I don't know. I mean, well, probably more normal than we anticipate.
How problematic is that?
Very problematic, because again, it's like you know, you want an even level for everybody in this league, and if one team's getting a break because of a relationship with somebody from the league office, that's not right.
Is this going to roll up to Goodell at any point? Like, I mean, is he insulated enough from this? It's interesting. We're seeing presidents and chief counsels, etc., but not owners and commissioner. Will that change?
I mean, it could. I mean, because again, it's like you can see that the leaks on the emails are you know, getting more prevalent, and of course you know, the worst, and of course the fact that nothing's happened on the Washington team other than what the what was it, $100,000 fine or something like that. It's like there's nothing more than that, and nothing to satisfy the 40 women who were abused in the office and all that. So it's like no, it's like, you know, if I think this puts him in a position now, he needs to do something.
Yeah, Roger Goodell has, you know, you and I have argued about Roger Goodell for a long time. I don't know whether this will be the thing to take him out, but it sure seems like the more that gets unearthed, it's his NFL, the same way it's Dan Snyder's football team. And at some point, the actions of the president, the actions of coaches, the actions of chief legal officers, that's going to roll up. So I am curious to see what happens here over these next few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, again, this this story continues to get more fascinating with the emails. You know, I hope, because I've always sent a bunch of emails to Bruce Allen, too. I hope I come out of it okay.
Geez. Well, John, good luck to you.
Well, again, the key is, it's like anything that we talked about, you know, news-wise or anything like that, I did by phone.
Right, and you know, assuming that you didn't write things that were racist, sexist, homophobic, inappropriate, or asking him to, you know, edit your stories for you, I'm guessing you should probably be okay. But there is something about that is scary. I mean, as much as we were talking about this yesterday, as much as I like the fact that some of this is coming out and we're learning about just how opaque the NFL has been, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with the way the leaks are happening and that personal information like this, personal communication and correspondence, is just being released to the public. I don't know if I like that.
No, I don't either. It's like, you know, they say release everything, and it's like, no, it's like release the stuff that you view to be important. Mm-hmm. But again, it's like, yeah, it's kind of very uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right, John, good stuff. Enjoy your weekend. We will talk on Monday following the game.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. John Clayton with me every day at 8:45, hearing from the professor. Will this eventually roll up to Roger Goodell? I mean, of all the things that haven't taken out Goodell to this point, it's hard for me to imagine this will.
You know it won't.
But I'll tell you what, once you start implicating the people closest to him, I don't know where that story goes next. So we'll just have to watch and see. I'm not willing to say it's going to happen yet, but that would be a very interesting
development. Yeah, it's all just a house of cards.
Well, that's right. It just keeps like one to the next, like Watergate, where it's like all the president's men. You just keep following the story, and more eventually comes out. All right, the last time Stacey was on this show, I felt like she was awfully mean to me. I had a point that we had some music to play. She kept talking over our music, which I thought was obnoxious.
Me too. I mean, I thought she liked those shows.
Right. We were just trying to welcome her and be good citizens, be good neighbors, right? They're the show after us. And she really just talked all over the music and then like laughed at it as if we weren't trying to be friendly. So when Stacey comes back, I hope she will be nicer to me today. We'll see. It is the Mike Salk Show. Stacey Rost up next, 710 ESPN Seattle.